We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
There are about 15,000 children in temporary foster care in Pennsylvania. Most of them will return to their family of origin. It can be painful for kids to be separated from their parents or families, and for younger children, it may be hard to understand what's happening to them and around them. A new children's book called The Watchful Owl tells the story of a young fox that loses his parents and lives with another animal family. It was written by Heather Paterno, an attorney who focuses on families and children's issues and is a board member of CASA, Dauphin County's court-appointed special advocates for children. The artwork in The Watchful Owl is also helps to tell the story and will keep kids' attention. It's illustrated by artist P.D. Murray. Both Heather Paterno and P.D. Murray are with us on The Spark today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Hi, Scott. It's a joy.
So I'm going to ask about the book itself, a few questions, and some of the lessons that it teaches. First of all, Heather, who is Fennec Fox?
Fennec Fox is just a little creature in the Great Woods. He lives in his foxhole with his siblings and his mother.
His mother and two brothers and a sister?
Yes.
Two brothers and a sister. So tell us a little bit about the story. I mean, I kind of summarized it in the introduction, but tell us the story.
Sure. The story is just a parable of sort of what could happen to a child in the foster care system, sort of told through a family of animals so that children can kind of understand it. And essentially what happens to Fennec is he doesn't have a father who's around. His mother's, you know, working hard raising the family, and tragically something happens to her. She gets picked up by a hunter. And the great owl, that's a watchful owl, has sort of always circled around the woods and looked out for all of the creatures in the woods, and he kind of gathers the community together, and they come up with a plan to look out for Fennec and his siblings.
Where's Fennec's father?
We never discuss it. He's just never been around.
Mm. There are whispers, though, in the woods.
There are whispers. So, yeah, who knows? You know, he something tragic might have happened to him. In Fennec's mind, Dad went out to, you know, on a great hunt, and it will come back someday.
Mm. So, you know, there's something Bambi-ish to the story, don't
right.
you think?
There is, you know, and it's hard to not be derivative as any child who's grown up in the U.S. You know, with all the stories that we get. You know, I tried not to make it quite like that, but yeah, those seeds are planted in all of us at an early age. So
Fennec was taken in by the Deer family, and his siblings go to live with other families, but he still sees them.
He does, yes.
So there's a lesson there.
There is a lesson there, and really, it is. Just sort of how a child can walk through the dependency system. This is a very common thing that we do. We have these what's called family group conferences where whenever a child is in care, obviously you want to keep them in the most natural place that you can. So that's why we look to family members. That's why we look to community members. You never want to have to pick up a child and put them, you know, with strangers. Now, this fox winds up being with strangers, but he also has two siblings that wind up living with family members. And it's very common. You'll see that a lot in the dependency system. You know, they have these family group conferences and they bring in everybody. And how can we keep the child in their most natural, you know, environment of origin? And who are the supports? Who are the people that we can bring around to help assist this family?
But Fennec mentions that he looks different than the deer.
He does, right.
And he's concerned that other animals in the woods will notice that he looks different than the deer.
Right. And not an uncommon, not an uncommon conversation that I would have for years. Just as a backstory here, I've represented children who were in foster care. So my job was to meet with them as soon as they were, taken in after that report is made to the CPS and the county agency comes in and takes the children into custody. I would have to meet with those children. I would have to describe to them to the extent that I could what was going on and who I was and what we were trying to do. I would have these conversations with kids. I mean, obviously, kids of any, different background and any different ethnicity. And they can be with people that are not the same. And having those conversations were real. We would have to have these conversations. And I always explain, love knows no colors and nothing. And the important thing is, we're looking for your best interests. We need you to grow up into be the best person that you can be. And we hope we can do it with your family. And to the extent that we can preserve that, we will. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. Different isn't always bad. You have those difficult conversations in that line of work.
Mm-hmm. P.D. Murray, as an illustrator, what are you thinking as you're illustrating a book like this?
Well, you're right. It's a little bit of a sad story. Heather's done a wonderful job of not shying away from the dark parts of the foster system in this allegory. So for me, I read it through a bunch of times, and then I do a memory test. What images really stick with me afterwards? And they're sort of leitmotifs that are there. He's being watched over. The owl is distant. But there's also this wonderful backstory of his friends and his daily life. So I was interested in bringing that to life, but in a way that respected the baggage of emotions. It's a very emotional story. So I wanted to make sure that the medium was soft, a little bit forgiving, and that the dark scenes weren't too Disney-fied or too dark.
Mm. Fennec is vulnerable.
Yes.
I mean, just along the lines of what you just said, mm-hmm. How do you portray a character like that as vulnerable?
Well, I think he's small in most of the scenes. He's little in these environments of these dark woods and larger animals and such. People talk a lot about the importance of representation of kids, how they look, skin color, gender, all of those things in books. But I think it's really critical, too, and Heather has done this wonderfully, to capture the need state of children and to have representation of that. So this does a wonderful job of preparing children, or children that aren't in the foster system, probably build some empathy out of reading a story like this.
That's a question that I wanted to ask. Obviously, children who are in foster care can learn some lessons from the book. But what about children who aren't in foster care? What can they learn? And are you concerned at all that it would frighten them?
I hope it wouldn't frighten them. Regardless what age a child is, sometimes there's always going to be some sort of real conversation or something that happens. I remember when I was growing up. I mean, I went to Palmyra, a very, very sort of homogeneous community. And I remember children that I would hear this is a foster care kid. I think it's a way of opening it up and explaining it in a way that makes sense to children on terms that they can understand. And it doesn't shy away from what could be sort of the darker parts of it, but it also explains it in a way that I think just makes sense and kind of brings it all together for kids.
It is a book, and the story is one that begs for a conversation between adults and kids, especially those in foster care. But even if there are kids that read it or their parents read it to them, mm-hmm. for those who aren't in foster care, because the father not being there, the mother is taken away. I can see a child who's not in foster care saying, "Mommy, Daddy, you're not going to leave, are you?" And so, I mean, that's one of the conversations. But for those in foster care, you can point out the things that Fennec goes through.
Sure. Yeah. It's funny. My children, now I have high schoolers. But again, I was doing this line of work for the past more than a decade. So they were always very aware of what I was doing. And I actually consulted with my daughter on this to say, hey, can you give this a read through? Does this explain what you remember of, you know, that I would do when we were younger? And fortunately, she's sort of an old soul. And she said, yeah, this makes sense, Mom. And she actually gave me some pointers on how to change some things. But I guess I can't really speak for how other people might view it because it's just been part of my vernacular, my world for so long, and my children in that respect. I think I can hope that this does. It is sort of a way to open the door and to have some of these conversations, like you said, and to talk about it. Like, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It is a real thing for many children. And this is how, you know, we can come together and help.
I'm curious, can you talk about the pointers that your daughter offered? Because, you know, coming from a younger person?
First of all, she loved the idea of animals. You know, I mean, that was floating around my head. And she and I took a trip to Pittsburgh last year, and I was bouncing this around. And she said, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, kids love animals, and they love to see cuddly. And the idea of animals playing with each other, you know, that aren't the same, which, let's face it, probably doesn't happen a whole lot.
Yeah. There are some logistics to that I've avoided.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, there's always the issue of scale. Fennec's friends are a rabbit and a turtle and a chipmunk. Well, chipmunks are a lot smaller than squirrels and foxes. And foxes are a lot smaller than deer. I was a little concerned about that. But, you know, by having animal protagonists, there's something forgiving about that. We can dream our way into the story. And I think stories with animals allow children to process some really difficult emotion without it having to be right up in their face. Mm-hmm. There's a nice sort of distancing that happens when it's happening to animals. But Heather's right. I mean, the fun of it, of course, is anthropomorphizing, you know, frogs and such.
He's so smart.
I will say, you know, that it does really have a positive ending. One of my favorite points in the book is when the owl reminds Fennec at the end that he's loved by the community. And there's a drawing of the animals surrounding him. And of course, if there's anything that we want for all children, not just kids in the foster system, is that sense of belonging. And I think it's an important lesson that the owl has there is that you are loved. You are truly loved.
You know, I'm going to admit this right on the air. I told you, Heather, that when I read about Fennec's mother being taken away, she was trapped and was taken away by a hunter, that me, almost 66 years old, that a tear came to my eye.
Well, that speaks volumes of the heart that you have.
But, I hope so.
I mean, unfortunately, sometimes bad things happen to good people.
To good foxes.
Yeah, to good foxes, right.
So, Petey, I wanted to ask you about the great owl.
Sure.
And right here in the cover of the book, the owl's eyes are big. Was that done on purpose?
It was. Well, I mean, if you want a caricature of an owl, you probably start with the eyes. But also, this owl's watchful. This owl has great eyesight and is, you know, looking over Fennec and Fennec's life from afar. So he needs big eyes.
Mm. And Fennec says to him, after his mother is taken away, and the owl says, all right, we're going to make sure we have, you know, some arrangements where you're going to go and your siblings are going to go, that Fennec says, was thinking that he thought the owl was mean, had been mean to him because he always yelled at him when they were in the forest. But I think we all can kind of relate to that there's an adult or someone out there that we thought was mean when they really were kind of looking out for us.
I love that about Heather's story is that that is nuanced. It's not just one way or the other. And for children, you know, any judge or advocate even could be frightening at first because, you know, they're dealing with their life in a certain amount of chaos. So that those authority figures can be scary as well as caring.
Mm. So let's talk about the sales of the book. I mentioned that the proceeds from the sale of the book will go to Dauphin County's CASA. Tell us about CASA, Heather. You've worked with CASA for a long time.
Yeah. The organization in Dauphin County is just a couple of years old. There is a national organization. There's a state CASA organization. But what CASA stands for, as you said, is court-appointed special advocates. And these are volunteers, community volunteers who get trained in child abuse and the dependency system. And then they are appointed either one child or one sibling group, one family group. And they also help to advocate for the child's best interests through their entire court proceedings. And what I can tell you, in Dauphin County itself, we have over 350 children right now who are in foster care. That's a lot of kids. And while each child has what I was, which was a guardian ad litem, I can tell you, as guardians ad litem, or GALs, as we call them for short, they often have anywhere from 60 to, it can be 110 children. So it's really tough to know what is going on with all of those children every day, every moment of every day. What's going on in school? What's going on in their home life? What's going on with them psychologically and emotionally? Are they getting checked in and seen regularly? So having this outside volunteer come in and represent that one child or one family where they can devote all of their time to helping, you know, maybe they can find that one psychological report that was buried that had that one nugget of information that was helpful. And that's what Dauphin County CASA does. They recruit and they train these advocates to really make a difference in a child's life.
Now, I just want to clarify, an advocate is not a foster parent, right?
Correct. Yes. These are people, again, just we have retirees, we have former ministers, we have former probation officers, people who just, you know, say, you know what, I can probably give maybe 5 to 10 hours a week or maybe 20 hours a month of just getting to know this child and helping to make a difference in their life and sort of carve their new path.
Now, you've described what you're advocating for, or a lot of what you're advocating for, but court appointed. Are you before a judge sometimes, or what?
Right. So once the training takes place, these people are actually sworn in. They have a big swearing-in ceremony by one of the judges of Dauphin County, and you know they're all of the trappings of representing a child sort of goes along. There is a confidentiality. They understand they're going to be reviewing records. They can't share this with other people. And then, yeah, they're basically swearing, and they uphold an oath saying that they will work for this child's best interest. And that might mean going to schools, but it might also mean coming to court and possibly being even called upon to testify. That's the exception versus the rule. But they'll prepare a report that will be given to the hearing examiner or the judge or whoever is overseeing one child-specific court proceeding.
I'm sure there are a lot of reasons, but why are most children in foster care?
There are a lot of reasons. There's a spectrum. I mean, and any time a child has their first contact, you know, the county agency is required to say why they are in there. So it could be drug abuse of a parent. It could be, you know, one parent passes away. It could be someone goes off to prison. It could be parent-child conflict. Obviously, it could be abuse, be it emotional or physical. So there are a variety of reasons. It could be mental health. You know, usually there's a mental health component with pretty much anything that goes in there. There but for the grace of a God go I. You know, there's a lot of reasons why, you know, one family is just struggling right now and they have to have some sort of court intervention.
What do they need most? And again, I know that's a broad question.
What do the children need most?
Yeah.
That is a broad question, and it's loaded, and every child's so different. Some just need safe and security in their home of origin. Some, unfortunately, need to be removed from the home of origin. Some need counseling. Some need love. I mean, they all need guidance. But the bottom line is they all need safety. They all need to be in a home where they can just not have to worry about where is my next meal coming and is something bad going to happen to me today or is something bad going to happen to my mom and dad. You know, some parents are very good, but they're involved in other things outside of the home that, you know, put the safety of the home in danger.
Most of the kids will go back to their family of origin, correct?
That's the goal. You know, the goal of any county service agency is to come in, assess the family, and see what supports they can put in place to stabilize the family and have the child remain. That is always the primary goal.
How do you know when you've reached that goal?
The court check-ins, you know, so when a child is dependent, by law, they have to have periodic check-ins at least at least every 6 months. We like to do a lot sooner in Dauphin County. Every 3 to 4 months can be sooner if somebody petitions for an earlier hearing. There are always the sort of those temperature checks along the way to see what services are in place. How do we need to tweak them? What do we need to rearrange? And then do what we can to stabilize the family.
Do the parents have advocates?
Yes, the parents are parties to the proceedings. So by law, they are entitled to have attorneys. Even certain CASA advocates get to know the parents as well, and they can sort of certainly offer suggestions for what might help with parents as well.
You know, something that you said just a few minutes ago. You said there's always a mental health component. We've heard often since the pandemic that a lot of young people are having their mental health has been affected by what happened to it. Do you notice that more? And we only have about a minute left.
Yeah, absolutely. The strange times that we live in, right? I mean, who could have foreseen anything like, what happened back in 2020? And sure, yeah, that takes a toll on it. I know it from an advocate's perspective. The first thing I saw when there was sort of the shelter in place and stand down, I thought, oh no, I've got a lot of kids that may be living in unsafe situations. And then you don't have those mandated reporters and those school professionals having eyes on them. So yeah. And of course then the hangover of just the fear of this unknown, unseen disease. It's definitely taken a toll on children's mental health.
We only have about 30 seconds left. And Petey, let me ask you, since you did read the book several times, your takeaway.
I think it's a heartwarming story without being Pollyanna-ish. It really tells about the foster system when everything goes right, when there's a champion for a child.
In this case, the deer and,
that's right.
And the owl.
And the owl.
The owl.
The owl is a hero.
The, casa, yeah.
The book is The Watchful Owl by Heather Paterno. Illustrations by P.D. Murray. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.